Welcome to ACMN Conversations, a podcast about marketing, media, and entertainment matters in Australia. There are some incredible people in our industry and beyond, and there's some amazing things happening both on and off the stage. I'm ACMN's Managing Director, Lyndall Pond, and today we are thrilled to be speaking to Michelle Guthrie. She's rehearsed with Russell Crowe, been mentored by Cyndi Lauper, and represented clients as diverse as Barry Humphries and the Dalai Lama. Backstage, Michelle has been a leading lady of the theatre for over 30 years. She's worn many hats in this time, from publicity to producing, and now divides her time between the board of Hayes Theatre, running neglected musicals, producing, and of course, heading up her publicity company, Michelle Guthrie Communications. We're chatting to Michelle about all of this today, so if you want a broad view of the Australian live entertainment industry, this is the episode for you. Welcome, Michelle, and thank you very much for joining us.
Wow, thank you, Lyndall. What an intro. I'd forgotten half of that myself.
I wasn't sure if I should say 30 years, but let's just
get over it. It's actually more. So 30 years is fine.
So on that, can you give us the elevator pitch of your career, if you can condense it to an elevator ride these days?
Well, yes, because there's a lot to leave out as well. Look, I've been very fortunate to have such a varied career and so fortunate to have spent pretty much most of it in theatre and entertainment. I decided early on that that's what I wanted to do with my life, and I'm just so lucky that, you know, of course when you're young and you see people singing and dancing and you think, oh, I want to do that, I want to do that. And once I started doing that, I realised pretty quickly that there was a lot more to this thing called show. And I was actually in a Peter Williams production of Dames at Sea at the Opera House playing Ruby. When an interval one night, he came backstage and said, look, can you come and see me on Monday? I want to talk to you. And he gestured around the room and said, stop all of this. And I was like, what is he talking about? And I really didn't know what he was talking about, but apparently I'd spent the entire rehearsal period telling him how to sell the show. So he said, that's what you've got to do. You've got to do that. So it was a gift. It was such a gift to be able to have somebody say that to me and push me forward. And so I went from performing to organising large groups of people to go to the theatre. And then I went into management. I became a publicist. I was in-house publicist for the Really Useful Company. I did a lot of casting. And then I set up my own publicity and promotions company. And then went into producing as well.
Well, you really have covered the breadth of the industry. And I'm sure that on-stage experience has really helped you with the offstage work that you do as well.
I think it helps you with the with talent in general, knowing what they're actually concerned about in that moment. It's completely different to what a producer or a publicist might be thinking about.
Yes, that's quite insightful. So over that 30-ish years, what have been, say, the couple of the biggest highlights of your career?
Well, looking after large-scale musicals and, you know, working as a national publicist, pulling everybody together for the greater good, so to speak. I mean, I was so lucky to work on the tent tours, which they're referred to now in folklore. I started on Cats in the tent in the Big Top, back when it was just a drawing on a piece of paper, and it was just this concept of that seemed absolutely ridiculous. And I remember thinking, that's never going to happen. And it did. And Cats toured around Australia for over 2 years, had its official opening at Ayers Rock, which was massive. That's over 20 years ago now. And then we did Grease for a while, and then we did Shout. So that was a massive highlight. And then doing lots of international artists coming into the country, people like, you know, Barry Humphries, Bernadette Peters, Kristen Chenoweth, the Dalai Lama, that was nuts. So they're all massive highlights. Creating neglected musicals, which then led to my involvement with Hayes Theatre, absolutely massive highlight. And then leading on from that, what happened with Calamity Jane, which started off as a neglected musical, then did a full season at the Hayes, and then Richard Carroll and myself took it around Australia. And to be honest, we could still be doing that show. And we probably will again. It was so successful and so loved, and an absolute highlight of the last 30 years was working on that show with all those wonderful people.
Absolutely. And Virginia Gay is the leading lady, just, yeah, divine.
Such yes, a... absolutely divine.
So that does lead me on to one of the things we want to talk about today was neglected musicals. It's such a great initiative. What was your driver to start it, and what have you got in store for us in 2021?
Well, I was living in London and I stumbled across the Covent Garden Performing Arts Museum, and they were doing a reading of a musical called Green Willow, and I hadn't heard of Green Willow. I'm not sure if any of your listeners have. So I went in and I watched it, and it was a bunch of actors on stage with music and books in hand and an upright piano, and they did the entirety of Green Willow. And I thought, gosh, we really should do this in Sydney. So fast forward many, many, many years later, I thought it's time. Now is time. I wanted to bring some joy back to the musical theatre world. So it's 11 years ago now, and I thought, how can we do this? It's a very tricky thing to do because most big musicals have a lot of people involved. So we have one day's rehearsal, and then initially we only did two shows on one day. Now we do a week of shows, so the cast get to perform it longer than they've rehearsed it. They have scripts in hand, and there's just a piano, and we sell out, and the audiences love it, the cast love it. There's been 21 neglected musicals presented so far, and there would have been two in 2020, and I am very hopeful that those can happen in 2021. We were going to do the 2007 Broadway hit Curtains at Belvoir as part of their Up Late program. That hopefully can happen again now that it's been postponed, because I love that musical. And Pajama Game, which would have been on actually 2 weeks ago at the Hayes if we were open. And I'm sure that we'll be able to do Pajama Game in 2021. And look, I'll never run out of neglected musicals. So, you know, it's important to show everybody these shows we don't get to see, because we can't, the commercial producers can't do every single big Tony Award-winning show. Hayes is having a good go at doing every single other show. But then there are some shows that would just not work commercially. They're not viable except for this format. So hopefully we'll keep going. There's plenty more to do.
What a great way to investigate whether a show has got commercial potential as well, is have a look at it in this forum and then see, you know, where you can take it. And I didn't realise that Calamity Jane started in that way. So you just never know your luck, I guess.
No, one for 21 so far. So we'll see what the next few years bring. But the other thing with neglected is it's a great opportunity for first-time directors to stick their foot in the water. And I'm currently looking for even more directors to come along and direct their first neglected.
Well, it's a great platform for people to experiment and see if they're cut out for it. So, yeah, we see from your, I guess, your CV that you do have such an interest in new musicals and new talent. So what's the driver behind that? And I guess what's the most exciting challenge that that presents?
Many. Well, for the past few decades, I've actually worked as publicist on a lot of new work. And traditionally in this country, the writers, the composers have driven their own work. They've gone and got the funding, and it's a very difficult road. And often, more often than not, over the last couple of decades, that work has been presented before it's actually had a chance to be developed. So what I'm interested in, and what we've been doing at the Hayes, is being the person, the group, the producers that can actually get the funding, organise and produce the development of the show. I think it's time that Australia has a lot more Australian musicals. I think the audiences are ready to hear our stories, and I also think that we're ready to hear our own voices up there. I mean, the success of Muriel's Wedding in particular, I really do think it's time. that we really do see a lot more. And I've currently joined APRA's MTAG committee, and that's a group of people that are looking at ways forward with new Australian musicals. And I'm really excited about the prospect of what we can all do as a group to make sure that new Australian musicals are part of our future. So there's the main challenges with new work is, as with most things, predominantly time and money. It's a very expensive enterprise to develop new work. A lot of musicals take anywhere from 7 to more years to actually get ready to be on stage in front of an audience, and that takes a lot of time and money. So we're looking at all that at the moment. Hayes has actually developed quite a few new Australian works. I'm executive producer on Dubbo Championship Wrestling, which would have been on in 2020, which will be on in 2021. And myself personally, as Michelle Guthrie presents, I am producing at Hayes in 2021 a new song cycle from Carmel Dean, which is called Well Behaved Women. And I'm a bit knee deep in that at the moment, getting it ready for 2021, which is very exciting.
Well, there's some brand new titles that I certainly haven't heard before. So, yeah, excited to hear more about that. What's your thoughts on the diversity debates that are running around at the moment through our industry, and how that's kind of around the topic of new talent as well?
Well, it's really good that it's come to a head this year. And I guess with, you know, everybody having a lot less to do, it's been able to be focused on completely. And I think that it's really essential to listen to the diverse groups that are out there, you know, not just BIPOC, but people living with disabilities and the LGBTQI community. And we need to be more inclusive. Obviously at Hayes, we go out of our way to be inclusive with all of the diversity groups. And that is definitely something that is part of our strategy and something we're going to do more. For myself personally, the casting of Neglected is always a great opportunity to change the way a show would normally be cast and change the audience's view of different people in different roles. And I've also had the great opportunity to have the wonderful Keith Robinson in a show at Neglected, and he is an actor who is now in a wheelchair, and he was able to be in The Sentimental Bloke for us. And it's just very important that we go out of our way to find more ways to include all diversity.
Yeah, well said. And I think your point about we've had time this year to elevate that issue and we've had headspace to think about it means that the industry is coming up with better solutions.
We need to think about it a lot more. We really need to listen to what the groups have to say and then really think about what we can all do individually to hear them, to see them, to include everybody, all diverse groups.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we have spoken about the Hayes a little bit, and I know you sit on the board there, but can you tell us a bit more about the setup of that? It's a fairly unique theatre proposition, that one.
It is. We're all very proud of what we've achieved at Hayes over the last 7 years. It's really been quite remarkable, and we're far ahead of where we thought we'd actually be by this point. And, look, I was lucky enough to be one of the founding members, so that was many years actually, and many, many hours of sitting around talking about what it is that we could do to set ourselves up to be different, to work differently. And one of those things was many committees. So rather than having an artistic director, we have a programming committee, which is led by Lisa Campbell. And so, you know, there's that old saying that you can't make decisions by committee. We do, and it does seem to work for us very well. So that's its biggest difference, I think, from a lot of other theatre companies, apart from the fact that, you know, we present musicals and cabaret. I'm very, very proud of the team that we have at Hayes, and hopefully over the next few years that will grow, that we'll have more full-time paid staff to run the show. And I think what we've got in store is exciting. Obviously, Young Frankenstein is on sale at the moment. That's due to open in mid-February. And we've got so much stuff coming up. We could actually probably put 2 years on sale, but we won't. And when we feel that we can announce more shows for 2021 and when, where, how, all of that stuff, that should be coming up soon. But it's pretty exciting what's planned. Lots of new work, classics, lots of new work. It's very exciting.
And it sounds like your career leading to that point, Hayes, has been a real coming together of your skill set and your passion pieces. So congratulations on that. I think the whole
thank you
what the Hayes has achieved.
Well, I got to say, it's the best fun. It's also really, really hard, but it's also, you know, the really, we all love it so much. We're all so dedicated to what we're doing and what we're creating. And it's, you know, the evidence of the hard work is the audiences, when they're there, the joy to be part of something. To be in that foyer at Hayes Theatre is just such a blessing to actually talk in a cliche, but it really is. It really is. To have something like that where everybody can come together and love the same art form is just really quite wonderful.
Yes, I agree. I think it does feel like such a special night out when you head down to the Hayes. So that's your producing hat. Tell us a little bit more about Michelle Guthrie Communications, which is about to emerge. This is kind of bringing your PR drive back into a new look business, I guess. So tell us a bit more about that one.
Well, I mean, 7 years ago, Hayes opened the same week as my daughter was born. So with the dedication needed for both of those projects, I did take a step back a bit. And, you know, MGM Publicity and Promotions has been going for 20 years, and I felt that it was time for a rebrand. So Michelle Guthrie Communications is what I'll be known as going forward. And I really want to look at the strategy of what publicity and communicating to audiences has become. And of course, it's going to change again with COVID. Audiences are going to be different. Everybody is going to look at things in a different way. And obviously already with the theatres that are just starting to open up, the way you arrive at a theatre and the way that you enjoy that experience is all changed. And so therefore publicity needs to change with that as well. So a big part of what I want to do going forward is the strategy, but also audience development. We really need to engage with audiences is what they want. That's who we're doing it for. That's why we're all getting together and putting on a show, is so there could be people out there to watch the show.
Yeah, I love it. Putting the audience member at the heart of the communication strategy, it just obviously makes a lot of sense. And certainly that world of editorial has just changed at the speed of light, no doubt.
Massively. Massively. And it will change more again.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've had a bit of a chat about the producing and the publicity side of it. So I did want to kind of ask you how you ended up in both spaces. So I've just said publicity versus producing. Discuss.
Well, look, many ways they go hand in hand. The last couple of years, most of the work for me in a publicity sense has been national publicist to the shows that I'm associate producer on, like Calamity Jane Tour and the Spamalot Tour, and that actually works really well. I mean, it's really quite fun to be one day booking the transport for the company from the airport to the accommodation, and then the next minute you're locking down a media call. It's looking at things from all aspects. So, you know, I think they do go hand in hand. And I think that being a producer also assists me greatly in being a publicist, because I know exactly what the concerns are of the producer, which is to, you know, not lose money, to make money. And that's extremely important. So I think that they do go hand in hand. And going forward with Michelle Guthrie Communications, I will still be producing shows as well. And I'm really have missed throwing myself into the world of publicity. So it'll be so great to work on large events and tours again.
Sounds like it's going to be a really nice balance of your skill set. So, yeah, best wishes with that. We might end our little chat today with some, maybe some insight into some stuff you've experienced along the way, because you have worked with some of Australia's greatest theatre producers, including the legendary Harry Miller. Tell us a little bit about what you've learnt from them.
Well, look, I've learnt a lot of what not to do as well by working with so many producers. But here's a few little things. I did actually write these down. I'm sure I've forgotten somebody, though. Look, with Peter Williams, it was really taught me how to sell a show. Harry Miller taught me the importance of relationships, which are just vital in this business. Working with Tim McFarlane as part of a global company, about the inclusiveness. Tim was really inclusive with all the staff there, which was just such a joy. Working with Cameron McIntosh, definitely learnt that there is no task too small. He really likes to go over everything himself with a fine-tooth comb and bring you along with him with that. I did a few things for Michael Edgley over 20 years ago. He's not producing, as far as I know now. And look, the business of show, that was Mr. Edgley all over. Kevin Jacobson, well, what I could write a book about working for the Jacobson family. It was a very heady time, lots of different shows. Working with Kevin Jacobson, Carol Jacobson, Cole Joy, the brother. I mean, just so many stories. Really rock and roll family and producing in a very rock and roll way. And I miss them all greatly. They were just such fun. Look, Howard Panter. I really love Howard as well. I mean, he, to me, was, you know, give people what they want. And same with John Frost in that respect. But the biggest thing about working with John Frost was the art of saying no and how to say no. It's really quite special. He would say no and then turn around and say yes, often later on. More recently, working with Lisa Campbell and Richard Carroll, I guess working with them, you know, on different shows but also as board members of Hayes, is dare to do something different and dare to do something. You know, that's a big thing about the two of them. They've been friends their entire lives pretty much, and they work so well together. And I think daring to do something different is definitely what I've learnt from them. Oh, gosh, I'm sure I've left somebody out, but I think that's probably enough for now. But I've learnt so much from all the people I've worked with, whether they be producers or marketing people like yourself. I mean, being part of this thing we call show, it's so joyous. And the last year of not doing all the things that we do, I've really, really missed all of it and everyone.
Oh, that's so nice. I was smiling a lot through that because I've dealt with a number of those people and had many of those learning experiences as well. So it's good fun, this thing we call show, as you call it. I love that coin of phrase. We think it's important just to end with a bit of fun and a bit of insight to get to know you a little bit better. So I'm going to hit you with a few personal questions. We do always start with something that's dear to our hearts. So to you, Michelle, why does arts matter?
Because it's life. I mean, it's food for the soul. I think that, you know, what we need is air, food and art. And 2020 has definitely proven that. We can't live without art. People think they do live without art. And then, you know, cooking dinner, that's art. You know, the way you style your house, that's art. You are influenced by art on where you put your couch. So, I mean, it is so essential and it really matters. And I'm lucky that my daughter goes to a school where art in all its forms is a priority. And I just wish that all schools had that kind of energy and emergency on how important it is for children to be part of art.
And that creativity is at the heart of everything that we do. I think that's
absolutely
spot on. Tell us, what was the last piece of great theatre that you saw? Have to cast your mind back a little bit for that one.
Yeah, well, not too far though. I was really fortunate that I was invited by Carmen Pavlovic to the opening night of Moulin Rouge in New York on Broadway. And I was actually working in Los Angeles on something. And so it was quite easy to pop over and see it. And it is absolutely stunning. I've been lucky enough to go to quite a few Broadway opening nights. And the show is just, you wait, Australia, until you get to see Moulin Rouge. It really is spectacular. And I really can't wait to see it again.
We are so proud to be working on that show, and
yes, congratulations.
The excitement around it is palpable. We cannot wait to launch that one here in Australia. And just one kind of really small topic to finish off. What are your thoughts on a post-pandemic world?
Yes, well, I'm glad you said post-pandemic and not COVID, because I do feel that we're not getting rid of COVID. But we will be able to have a world that's post-pandemic. And I do see that we'll be a more enlightened society. It's just starting to see glimpses of it now. There's been so much turbulence this year. But I think that it'll make people be more appreciative of what they've got. You know, the simple joys of going out for dinner and going seeing a show. And I really look forward to when that part of our lives in this business can feel a little bit more normal, which it will, I'm sure, over the next few months. But I'm also personally looking forward to being a global citizen again. I love to travel. I really do miss traveling, and it's a big part of what my family does. So I do feel that it's a little way off yet, but I'm really looking forward to when we can do that.
Hear, hear. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Michelle, and what a wonderful insight into the world of entertainment you've given us, and an incredible career. Congratulations on everything that you've achieved. I'm sure there's still more incredible work to come from you. We do wish you the best for a fun-filled and action-packed 2021 and the new look Michelle Guthrie Communications. Can't wait to see how that all plays out for you. We will put a link in our show notes to all the wonderful projects Michelle has been involved with, along with how you can contact her. And we can't wait to bring you our next guest on ACMN Conversations when we get back in your earpods then. Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you, Lyndall.